You do not put it in another Bible in your office after you print it out. 2 Kings chapter 3. Again, you did get the prayer bulletins. And I just set mine down in the office when I went back there just now. I do know we were praying for Nora's cousin who was a write-in, I think, from last week or the week before. I'm trying which one it was on. Anyhow, that cousin did go to be with the Lord. Still needs prayer there from her. The spouse of the wife, the husband was taking care of the wife. Is that correct? Was taking care of the husband. And the wife has passed. And so the husband, you know, is left in, you know, pretty rough shape right now with the caretaker of his poor health passing away. So we're still asking prayer for that. And there's some additional ones that are on the prayer sheet. You'll see those when you open up those in bold and whatnot. But so go through that. Please make sure you're praying for that. Be praying much for the election and everything that's going on with our nation right now. There's a lot going on, especially in our own state elections and things that are taking place. Again, I recommend you can get with John Lowe. If you're not sure about some of these things that are coming up right now, I recommend you get with John Lowe. He's researched them, and you can even register to vote with him and all that stuff. So get with him, though, and make sure you're voting informed. And go from there. All right, 2 Kings. Let me get there myself. Chapter 3, and I'm going to start reading in verse number 5. It says, "But it came to pass when Ahab was dead that the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. And King Jehoram, who is now in place of Ahab, went out of Samaria the same time and numbered all Israel. And he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, saying, the king of Moab hath rebelled against me. Wilt thou go up with me against Moab to battle? And he said, I will go up. I am as thou art, and my people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses. And he said, which way shall we go up? And he answered, the way through the wilderness of Edom. So the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah, and the king of Edom. So we have three armies combined. And they fetched a compass of 7 days' journey, and there was no water for the host. So they have a brand new problem. And for the cattle that followed them. And the king of Israel said, alas, the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. And Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. And Elijah said unto the king of Israel, what have I to do with thee? Get thee to the prophets of thy father and to the prophets of thy mother. Remember, they had served Baal. They were in idolatry. And the king of Israel said unto him, nay, for the Lord had called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely, were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee nor see thee. But now bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass, when the minstrel played, that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, you shall not see wind, neither shall you see rain. Yet the valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beast. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. And ye shall smite every fenced city and every choice city, and shall fell every good tree and stop wells of water and mar every good piece of land with stones. And anyhow, and it came to pass, we see exactly what he's talking about takes place if we were to read on. But we're going to stop right there. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. Lord, we ask your blessing now upon this time. Lord, I pray that you be glorified and honored. I pray that this would be a help to us. Please use it to draw us closer to you. Lord, I pray that it would strengthen us, and that you would use it in all of our hearts, Lord. I love you, and I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so let's go over what's taking place here. We have three armies that have combined. We have the king, this northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, Israel and Judah, and then the king of Moab. So we have, or the king of Edom, excuse me. Those three armies have combined to try and battle against Moab, who was at this time the superpower, if you will. And so they realize once Ahab dead, Moab's rebelling against him. You go back up to the earlier in the very first verse of this chapter, it begins to lay that foundation. And so he goes to Jehoshaphat, please, listen, Moab's coming, will you help me? He agrees. They get Edom. And as they're traveling, as they're going down through the valley, they have a brand new problem. They're in the middle of dry season here. There's a drought taking place. They have no water. They have no water. That all of a sudden even becomes the priority. It's not so much even the army of Moab's right around the corner. They don't know when they're going to face off with him, but now they have no water. They could literally start dying of dehydration, or if the army hits, they have no strength with which to fight the army of Moab. And so, again, the king of Israel, because he lacks faith, there's, you know, whenever you're apart from God, you're not walking with God, when tough circumstances hit, all of a sudden everything's, your world's falling in. And of course, Jehoshaphat says, no, listen, is there not a prophet of the Lord? Let's go to God with this. And so Elisha, they go to Elisha. And Elijah's response is just always excellent. He's just an amazing, amazing man. He really is. I enjoy him. I preached actually a series on him, if you remember, during A Men of Faith several years ago. We did messages on the life of Elisha. And so Elisha sees the three kings. They come to him. And he has a few choice words for the king of Israel. He knows they want nothing to do with God. They want nothing to do with Jehovah. They're all about Baal. They're all about their idolatry. And he lets him know, listen, if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat, I would have nothing to do with you right now. You can go to those prophets of your mom and dad. Just head back to those false gods and let's see them help you right now. He said, but Jehoshaphat is here. He said, so I will inquire of the Lord. Now what I want you to do is put yourself, you're in the army. We're all in Judah's army, okay? We're in the military. We're in his army. Think about this. You've been traveling. No doubt you have apprehension right now. You're getting ready to face the superpower of the region. They're dominating. And you're going to face them off in battle. Not only that, though, you have no water. You have no water. None. You're getting dehydrated. And so you're in this valley. You know that the three leaders have just headed off, probably with a few generals, to see Elisha. They have the meeting with him. They come back. The king tells the generals, here's what we're going to do. You tell your men to get off, to get their shovels out, and what they have to do is dig ditches. We're going to do what? We're going to dig ditches. That was the orders. Think about this. Now, it gets worse. Know what Elisha told them? You're going to dig ditches. And by the way, while you're digging your ditches, you're not going to have any wind and there will be no rain. No wind, no rain, and you are going to dig some ditches. That's the orders that come down to the three armies. Moab, they don't know where Moab is. They know they're going to appear anytime. So they give the orders out. Now, what I want you to picture in your mind is this. You're there right now. It's hot out. You're weak. You're thirsty. And your commander comes to you and says, get the shovels out and start digging a ditch. Here's the question. How deep would your ditch be? Serious, how deep would it be? And remember, you understand who it's coming from. You understand that, okay, they went to the man of God, and here was his solution. He inquired of the creator of the universe, and he said, this is what you need to do. Dig a bunch of ditches. Now, in the story, what takes place is they follow the orders. They dig the ditches, and it solved all of their problems. Because if we would have read on, this is what takes place. The armies get down, they dig all these ditches in the valley, and miraculously, the Lord fills those ditches with water. They're now refreshed. But it also solved the problem of Moab, and they didn't even realize it. Because Moab comes up from the top, heading down to the valley, and they look down and they're like, is that water? But you know what they said? There's been no wind or rain. It can't be water. They concluded, those three armies just turned against each other. We're actually seeing blood. So when they went down into the valley, they are no longer prepared for a battle. The other three armies were. And so that leads to their victory. So, an amazing story here. I remember when I prepared this message, it was years ago. It was in 1995. I still remember writing this message. I got so excited about it. I was doing my morning devotions, and I finished my reading. I wasn't even in 2 Kings chapter 3. And at the time, I had read Spurgeon's morning and evening devotions after I finished my regular devotions and prayer time. So I grabbed Spurgeon's morning and evening devotions, and he dealt with the one verse about digging ditches. That was all he gave. And he just, if you know his, he gives a paragraph usually each time. Man, that thought ran with me. I started thinking about that account. I read the chapter. And I'm thinking, really, how did I miss this? Reading through my Bible year after year, how did I miss this right here? And right there, the idea for the sermon started coming to play. And it was just because thinking of it in my own life, because I was thinking, if I'm there, how deep would my ditch have been? You see, too often what we want before we dig our ditch is we want God's blessing first, and then we dig our ditch. I've given this example before. My stepfather is a plumber. He has his own plumbing business, and he's had that since I've known him before he married my mother. And then after he married my mother, though, when I was in my young teen years, I couldn't stand when he wanted me to go with him because it meant he had to dig a ditch. That's the only reason I ever went. He never even showed me how to glue two pieces of pipe together. He just had to dig a ditch, and he didn't want to dig it. So that was me. So I would head out, and I'd have to dig or clean up some mess somewhere like that is what I had to do. And I'll never work with you. That won't happen. I can't stand plumbers, brother. Daniel can work with you, but I'm not. But digging a ditch isn't fun. You know, I'd come with my hands and be all calloused and, you know, just it's mundane. It's, you know, it's so intellectually stimulating to dig a ditch. I mean, there's just nothing like it. It's just so enjoyable sitting there doing that. It's just great. So digging a ditch, what it takes is work. It does. But make no mistake about it. If they don't dig those ditches, they die. They die. So I want to ask you, what ditches are you digging in your life that God can bless? How is it that you are preparing your life to be in a place where God can bless? If you don't have your ditches dug, there's nothing for him to fill up. Nothing. The work comes first. We dig our ditches and he blesses. Our responsibility is simply to dig the ditch. Too often we want to see the wind, we want to see the rain, and then we'll dig our ditch. And the Lord says, no, dig your ditch. So let me give some ditches that we need to dig quickly here this evening. Look in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 25. These are some. So what I'm giving out right now, so it's clear. Things that need to be in place in all of our lives. All right. These are some of the simple things. These are some of the ditches that need to be dug in our life in order for God to bless. Things that he can use. He can fill up. You know, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Boy, this is an important verse in the Bible. This one stresses the importance of our church assembling, meeting. You know, we set up services Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. All of those coming together. One, we have the time of fellowship together. We get to see each other. And then we come to that time that's so important where we get into God's Word. In each of those services, getting something, some milk from His Word, some meat from His Word, something to be a help to us. Listen, one of the ditches that you need to dig is being faithful to church. Determining, listen, during these times, I'm there. You don't wait for that service to debate if you're going to go or not. Because the majority of the time, you won't go. There's times when, in all honesty, in your flesh, it's not going to feel like going. Maybe it's been a long day, you know, all kinds of things just going wrong. Like, I just don't want to. Listen, you have to determine, you got to dig that ditch. You got to dig the ditch. If you want God to bless, determine, I'm going to be faithful. Besides, it's required in a steward that a man be found faithful. If you want God's blessing, be faithful. It's easy to be faithful when you want to do it. Character comes in, which when you don't want to, and you say, it's the right thing to do. So you have to determine to dig that ditch of being faithful to church. Be faithful. We know, I'm not going to go in for time's sake here. I want to try and get finished here in the next 10 minutes. We know that, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We know from Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Think about the two verses I just gave you, Romans 10:17 and Hebrews 11:6, with the importance of what takes place in a church service. The Lord, this is one of the ways in which the Lord uses to help increase our faith. It is. I mean, you just take some time to think about it in your own life. At the times when you're listening to God's word and something has grabbed you from his word. And faith increased. You got to dig that ditch. Determined to be faithful to church unless providentially hindered. Then that's fine. Number two. Prayer and Bible. That devotion time, as we like to call it. I think we all would agree that prayer takes work. It does. Many times prayer is like digging a ditch. There's times you get up and you're like, I just don't want to do this right now. But you dig your ditch. You need that ditch full. Do you understand that? You're going to need water in that ditch. You dig the ditch. The reason why you're so anemic spiritually speaking, because there's no ditch dug for God to fill up. It's not there. The prayer life consists of before your meal. Lord, thank you for this food. Amen. Or maybe a flyby prayer as you get in the car, something like that. But to have a prayer time. So important. You need that. It is digging your ditch. You know, while you're praying, you might not see wind. You might not see rain, but you still dig the ditch. You still do it. And of course, tying that in with the importance of the Word of God in our life. Now, and this I'm not dealing with it in relation to church, which I've already talked about that. But I mean you as an individual each and every day. We can think of Psalm chapter 1. How this is going to be a key to us prospering. Meditating upon God's Word. It is before God, not before financial markets, but before God, it's what's going to lead to us prospering. We know from 1 Peter 2:2, as a newborn babe desires the sincere milk of the word. Get in it and read it. And remember what I've said many times. What we can do is, as independent fundamental Baptists, don't worry, there's an element to us that many times that duty kicks in. And I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. I don't. But I do think at times it can be very dangerous. Okay? So we determine, which is a good thing to do. I think all of us should do it. I'm going to read my Bible through in a year, 6 months, you know, whatever it is. Okay? And so the danger in that is this. All of a sudden, it becomes about checking your box. And you've now missed what it's about. The Bible's not a magic book. It's not. It's not just that you opened it up and you saw the words. It's that you read it. I mean, in other words, you've heard me say, because I often do that. I'll read through and I'll ask myself, I'll finish a chapter. All right. And I'll realize, what did I just read? And I have to go back and read it again. Because it's not about just checking the box. Read it. At times, you know what it is? When I have to go back, it's digging the ditch. It's digging the ditch. Go back and read it. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Now, I know that's in a pastoral epistle. That's for all of us, though. Study it, not just read it. Mark a time to study it. I remember I would never recommend, this book was fine, this pastor I'd never recommend now, and this is going back to 1989. I remember I took a course. I just started some correspondence courses for college, and I was going to New Mexico State. This was the Bible courses I was doing at the time. And one of the first courses I took was a course called 12 Dynamic Bible Study Methods, based on a book by the time a man who was a Baptist pastor. He no longer is today. I won't even give his name. The book was very good, but because of how far out this guy is, I didn't want to give his name out. But I remember as I went through that, I remember grabbing three or four of those things. I said, wow, this is actually really good. And decided, okay, I'm going to go back and I'm going to do this one and this one and this one. Listen, it's really good. Maybe once a month or so, pick something to study, a theme, a person, a word. Pick something. Study it out. We need to read it. We need to study it. Psalm 119:11. We need to memorize it. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Memorize it. Know what that is? That's digging your ditch. It's digging your ditch. It's putting your life in a place that God can bless. That's what it's doing. Now, here's a wonderful one we all love to hear. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, separation. In the world we live in, this verse gets looked over more and more. It's because the reality is we don't like to stick out in a culture. Nobody does. That's natural. You know, I can think growing up because of moving, after parents divorced and moving, do you know how much I hated walking into a new school? It was a public school. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. Do you know how much I hated walking into a brand new public school? My stomach would just be a knot. You know nobody. All your other friends are gone. And you wanted your best just to not stick out. Just, you know, whatever. When it comes to separation, especially the direction of our culture, you know what happens to us? We become awfully, as Peter puts it, peculiar. Different. 2 Corinthians, I need to hurry. I need to hurry. I'm going to go very fast. I need candy. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. This is straight Bible. It's easy. It's not an issue up for debate. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and with what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. This is a foundational text, and not the only text, certainly not, for the doctrine of separation. Separation is not isolation. Listen, when we leave these doors, we're in a mission field. We're absolutely to love people and to reach people. It's dealing with a key word here, fellowship, a closeness. And it is warning and commanding against it, knowing what will take place. You say, no, I'll have that influence. Listen, our responsibility is to go out as we love people and we're trying to reach them with the gospel. But you better believe we are commanded by God to limit the fellowship. There's an easy example. Levi, come here for a second. Let me use you for an example, buddy. Real quick, so I can hurry up and get candy. Step up on that chair. One time you're allowed. Go ahead. All right. Now, grab my hand. Is it easier for him to pull me up or me pull him down? It's a whole lot easier for them to pull you down than for you to pull them up. And when you're in fellowship like that, what they need to see in your life is a light. Amen. Somebody different. Somebody that loves them, that's there for them, but they know you're different. You can sit down. Thank you. Separation is a ditch that we don't like, but we got to dig it. It sounds like I'm from the 70s. I got to stop saying that. Can't, you know, I don't know. Never mind. Last thing here real quick. What do you need to dig your ditches? I'm going to have to go through this very quickly. We see in 2 Kings chapter 3 for this, take the counsel of the man of God. They listen to Elisha. When you have strong scriptural counsel, take it. Take it. Number two, don't look, but there's other text. Hebrews chapter 3, by the way, for that one, verse 7, verse 17. There's other verses. I'm just running through this very quickly now. The second thing here, this is key when we're digging our ditches. Don't look at the circumstances. Remember what it said? They won't see wind. They won't see rain. Don't stay focused on the circumstances. You stay focused on your faith before God. All right? Stay focused on your faith before God, not on the circumstances. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 comes into play here. Proverbs, you know, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Those soldiers would have wanted to lean unto their own understanding. Their own understanding would have told them, we're wasting our time. There's no wind. There's no rain. What are we doing? We need to save our, and you could just imagine all the arguments being brought forth, especially with the army of Israel and the army of Edom. You know, those guys are like, what are we doing? Number three, last one here. Last one, I'm done. Keep digging. Stay faithful. Keep digging. Keep digging. Keep digging. Don't stop. Keep doing what God has given you to do. Stay faithful to it. With heads bowed and eyes closed. Let me ask this very quickly. Perhaps you're here right now, and this has been bothering you maybe for some time. You're not certain of your salvation. You don't know what would happen if you were to die right now. You say, Pastor, please, I don't know for certain that if I were to die right now, I'd go to heaven. Please, I need you to pray for me. Anybody here like that always, you just raise your hand. Just raise your hand, let me pray for you. I just see some small children is all I see. Anybody else? All right, Christian. If the Lord worked on your heart, we'll give here just a couple of minutes for you to come and respond. Father in heaven, bless his invitation, work in hearts and lives.